Hello and welcome along. It's Andy, your host on this here podcast.
Hi everyone. Here we are, episode 10, and I'm quite chuffed to have made it to double digits, actually, so I think I'm doing okay. Hope you're all enjoying listening, and today, something I know absolutely nothing about, makeup and hair, and this is a Pavita, so please enjoy. So here we are, episode 10, and I've got Pavita with me, and just tell us, Pavita, exactly what do you do?
I am a hair and makeup artist, and I'm based in Leicester, but I do travel nationwide and international as well.
Oh, get the advert in.
Yeah, I know.
So doing hair and makeup and hair and makeup, yes. That's got to be, how do you be good at both things?
I actually don't know how I've managed to be good at both. Makeup's always been my stronger suit, but I just become good at hair, and every time I do it I just fluke it and it just gets better and better. So there's got to be something good in my fingers working for me.
But then the very first time you did hair, I mean, it wasn't just, oh, I'll have a go at that. So what did you do? Practice on children or something? I don't know.
No, it literally was. I was thrown in the deep end to do it for friends and family. So before I came into it completely as a full-time makeup artist.
Yeah.
Just my family used to just keep calling me, can you do my hair? Can you do this for me? Can you twist it like this for me? And can you, you know, turn it like this and just curl it for me? I think back in the day, it just used to start off as just straightening hair and curling hair. And then it turned into adding a bit of twists and pinning. And I just learned how to do it myself over time.
So how far back are we going then for that?
Nearly 17 years.
Yeah, but you're only like 25 anyway,
aren't you? Oh, thank you. No, yeah, I started when I was 19, actually. And I just turned 36 2 days ago.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
For 2 days ago. So the graduation then from doing it for friends, family, whatever, yeah, into becoming an actual... Was that makeup as well, or was that just hair at the
time? It was makeup and hair, so okay. I started doing hair and makeup. I did loads and loads of training. I've trained with people in the UK. I've trained in Brazil. I trained with loads of different people just to try and pick up different techniques from everyone to try and make my own just personal way of doing hair and makeup. And okay. Did hair as well, yeah, did loads of training for hair as well.
How do you travel to Brazil to do training for...
I don't know how I found this woman, but her name is Michelle Palmer. She's an amazing makeup artist in Brazil. I think she must have just used to keep coming up on our feeds. And I just messaged her one day and just asked about training. And the training courses were quite cheap. So I thought I'll just have to go out there, and I've never been to Brazil, so I made a holiday out of it as well. So I explored Brazil. I did my training for 3-4 days, and I was one of two. There was another girl from London. The two of us were her first international and UK-based trained makeup artist by hair.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's something, isn't it? But you managed to turn it into a holiday.
Yes,
too,
yeah,
which is a theme
we it's might... It's ticked off the list now.
Yeah, we might revisit that theme. So in terms of sort of mentorship, I suppose, it's not so much mentorship, was it? It's just like a pot training here and there,
yes,
wherever you could pick it up.
Yeah, basically. Some people do one-to-one training, some people do group training. So you'll go, they'll do a demonstration on a model, and you then go and practice and or do what you've learned on another model.
Okay. And do you offer that yourself now? Is it?
No, not at the moment. I will look at it maybe next year. I've been getting busier and busier.
I know.
Naturally, yeah, I think that's how it should be. Yeah, so obviously you start somewhere and you should eventually get your name out there and get busier and busier every year, which I have done. I think people generally struggle more with their own day-to-day makeup and doing makeup for themselves rather than hiring hair and makeup artists for every single occasion that they have. So I will start next year, maybe just at the beginning or the end of every year, to do like a big masterclass. So that's something I'm looking into for next year, January, February, hopefully.
Wow, there you go. You see, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
So how did you go from doing friends and family And then suddenly you're huge in the wedding market. How does that happen?
So my first salon, when I said I started at 19, I actually did hairdressing at college. So I'm a qualified hairdresser as well.
Okay. Can you do anything with this?
No, unfortunately not. You've done it. Just, it looks fresh right now. But yeah, so I wanted to go to university to do salon management. But by then my dad already had a business in Leicester. So him and my cousin interviewed me for college to see whether it was worth me going or not.
Right.
And I basically knew exactly what I needed to do to open a business. So they just thought it was pointless for me to go and learn what to do when I already knew what to do.
Hmm.
As soon as I finished college, when I was 19, I finished at Loughborough College and went straight to straight into a salon. So my first salon was at Loughborough University campus. So it was literally across the road.
So that was working for someone else, though?
No. So I was renting a really, really small unit, and I turned it into a beauty salon because there was already hairdressing there, so they wouldn't let me do hairdressing. I had loads of girls working for me at the time. Then the recession hit and the student fees went up to whatever it went up to for the first time. And I think students were really struggling to pay for all these treatments. So I had to get rid of my staff and I had to go and learn all these beauty treatments. So I was already qualified in hairdressing. Then I had to go learn threading, waxing, massage, nails, manicures, pedicures, like the full work. So I used to just manage it on my own. I used to do it all myself.
Blimey,
I know, it's been crazy. But then these student unions used to approach me to see if I could do hairstyles or makeup. You know, whenever they have like their, I don't know what it is, like whenever they have a big event, let's say like the Indian Society or the Afro-Caribbean Society, whenever they have a big event, they'd call me to come and do people's hair and makeup for catwalks or whatever show they've got going on.
Yeah.
And it all started from there, really. Yeah. So I used to get huge bookings from the student unions.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then into weddings.
Yeah. So after my salon, I had another salon and then I had another salon. And then I gave it all up. Yeah. I was busy, but I think because I was so young, I struggled to manage it all on my own because I really wasn't focused, I would say, on these salons. I was still young. I still wanted to go out. I still wanted to enjoy being with friends and
party.
So yeah. And I just felt like, because I'd missed so much, like I didn't have the uni life, so I missed so much of it. And when I was at Loughborough, I felt like I was enjoying that and then struggling during the day because I was tired or my mind just wasn't focused on what I really wanted. So yeah, when I was 24 or 25, I'm not sure, maybe 24, I decided to get rid of the salons and I started working for Santander. So I know, just a call center, completely different.
This is a bit of a left-hand swerve. Okay.
But while at Santander, that's when I actually started taking bookings for friends and family because I had a Facebook page. People could see that what I did at Loughborough. I also had a modelling agency in Birmingham approach me to do editorial work.
I thought you were going to say you owned a modelling agency in Birmingham.
No, not for me.
Okay.
But yeah, they approached me for editorial work. And I think that's where it just went. It just came from there, really. Being in magazines, got published in America. And from there, I think the more that I posted on my social media, the more bookings I started getting from there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster.
Hasn't it? Just like... One salon, then three salons, then no salons at all.
Oh, there's more.
Then...
There's more to come.
Go on, then talk me through the next bit.
So yeah, then so from Santander, I was there for about 3 years and decided to go into business with my dad.
Right. So... Just pausing there for a second. So working at Santander, I'm imagining that wasn't particularly fulfilling.
No, it wasn't. I was just in a call center. I think it was just somewhere to go in between where I needed to figure out what was the next step.
Because one of
I did enjoy it.
One of my questions often is, which I've never asked, but it's going to become one of my new questions, is what's the worst job you've ever had before you came into the wedding industry? Yeah. So you've never had that bad job, really, have you?
I've had bad work experiences when I was in college.
Oh, go on then.
I was in a salon based in Leicester once, and I'm sure he'll probably never hear this, but he was a really strange man that I used to work for, and I used to go home every day and tell my mom, like how strange this guy was. And it was never busy in there, so I never learned anything while I was there as well. I felt like he just used to scare people away because he was just so weird.
Weird in what way?
Oh, he was very preachy, like religion preachy as well. But I just don't think he had any customer service value. Like, he wouldn't get up if customers used to come in. He wouldn't. Yeah, it was just, I've never seen anything like it. Yeah, he just didn't. It's like people just come in and he'd be like, oh, hello, what can I do? And
well, at least you learned how not to run a business.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess. Yeah.
So I think I learned a bit from him as well.
So getting to the end of 3 years at Santander in a call centre. And it's back to Dad then. So
yeah,
what did he do?
I decided to help Dad. Also, I didn't think that this would become a long-term thing. I thought it'd be another little halfway point because I left Santander and then I thought, oh God, what am I going to do now? And went to the shop. I thought, I'll help my dad. And
What sort of shop is it?
So it's my dad's second shop. We had a small one in Leicester to start with. It was just like a little discount store. Now we've got a big discount store.
Right.
But yeah, it's actually a garden centre. So the main floor is a discount store and all of the outside is all gardening.
Okay.
So yeah, a complete switch.
And is this where you've come from this morning? Because we've had delays. So
yeah.
Is this what you've been dealing with
this morning?
This
is what I've been doing. Yeah, I've been doing all my cash and carry. I had to go Nottingham to do that. Right. But yeah, this has become my life. So I now own the garden centre. I took over in 2017 from my dad.
So is he retired and just living the good
life? No, unfortunately, no. I think my dad will be working with me until the day he drops, well, which is what my granddad was like.
Yeah, I mean, Harpreet Matharu, a few weeks ago, like his dad just spends all his time at Supreme Suite and can't not work,
if you
know what I mean.
I think it's old Asian mentality. But it's not a bad thing as well. I think it keeps them active. It keeps their brain active. They get to still talk to people, keeps their sanity. Like, I don't think I would want my dad to completely retire. I think it does him so much good to be in the shop. Plus, it's big. So he's always walking around. He's always getting his steps in. It's good for him. Mm. Yeah, I don't want him to retire.
No. Right, so, okay. So if I get this straight in my head, you left Santander, you went to work with your dad at the shop/garden centre, and you now own the garden centre, but there's still a bit of a hole as to where weddings come in.
So I think because I own the shop and I've got very good staff, and because my dad is still there, I am very, very, very lucky to have the flexibility of being able to do hair and makeup as well as run the business.
Okay.
It's hard. It's very hard. I would say I don't get time to see my husband. I barely see my friends and family. I am full on focused on business, and what my friend says is like building. I'm busy building my empire right now. but yeah, I am truly grateful. I actually came off social media during COVID. And when I came back on social media after everything had calmed down, I'd lost a lot of followers, and it was like starting from the beginning again. So I did really struggle after COVID. It's like no one knew who I was. I'd like completely gone off the grid. People hadn't heard of me.
Okay.
But another thing is my business was named House of Revolution. So people never knew my name anyway.
Right. Okay.
And then, along came a big opportunity from Anisha Vasani Create. She's based in London. She does a lot of work with celebrities. And she brought my name up to a campaign in London for a store opening for the store is called Nikaza. And it's a huge bridal store. There was a huge opening for it, and they brought over a celebrity from Amsterdam called Deepa Kozla. And from there, I rebranded quickly before all of this happened to Bevita Makeup Artist, so people knew my name. And it's just been spiraling. It's been nonstop.
Yeah, because I've said, well, you see, this is the thing, because I don't actually get to see you all that often. It's only when you sort of stick your head around the corner on the occasional wedding. So are you working every single weekend?
I think from around February, I'm already 7 days and I'm fully booked till October.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's hard.
And have
it's good and hard.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But if you're prepared to put that work in. But that's at the cost, you were saying, of no social life and rarely seeing your husband and And how long do you think you would maintain that before you kind of...
No idea. I think when we have a family, that will change the dynamic of everything. I'll have to reevaluate how much time I put into the hair and makeup. Obviously, the business is my bread and butter. And as long as my dad's around, I think I am quite lucky that, you know, he's there to do the business with me. But I think I'm pretty flexible with the garden centre. So I am very lucky. I'm very, very grateful.
So if I need a bag of peat or something...
Yeah, ready. Right, yeah, you just let me know.
Not a problem. Thank you very much.
You'll see me driving around a big old van.
So this is quite an amazing story, really, from one salon, three salons, Santander, garden centre, back to hair and makeup. How do you manage your... You don't manage your time, do you?
I don't, no. I actually really struggle. I think only a makeup artist or someone in the wedding industry can actually understand where I'm coming from. The hours that we do in the wedding industry fluctuate so much depending on what time you need to start and travel time. That there's so many small factors that affect my sleep, my diet, just my general routine. So by the time Monday comes, I'm completely out of it. I'm exhausted. Yeah. I'd love a day off, but I do have a responsibility of running a business, and that just because it's mine, it doesn't mean that, oh, I'm tired, I don't go in today.
No.
I am there every single day, and I'm only off when I have makeup jobs. I actually don't have a single day off to sit at home or do housework, anything like that. I don't have that time.
Wow.
Yeah, it's hard.
So how far afield do you actually go? I mean, you sort of said at the beginning... you know, UK and international.
Yeah.
So, but within the UK, how far will you travel? You
know? I try not to travel as further than the Midlands at the moment. I will travel if I need to and if I'm free, but that's also on last minute bookings. I like to stick with Midlands. I feel like there's such a huge demand here that I don't feel like I should be putting my health at risk, because I'm normally quite tired as well. So driving absolutely just takes it out of me. I already drive to work every day. That's an hour. The business is in Northampton. And driving in general, I think unless you're doing a lot of it, you don't realise how exhausting it can be sitting on the motorway, driving, concentrating on what's in front of you. I got to a stage where I started feeling sleepy driving. So now... a lot of people do provide accommodation for me if anything starts before 3 or 4 in the morning, which unfortunately happens.
Well, you know, I was going to... Yeah, I didn't mean to cut across you there.
That's
fine. But that sort of early start, I know, you know, some videographers are sort of starting at 6 or 7. So you've got to be...
Ready before
three,
them.
3, 4, yeah?
Yeah, 3 to 4 hours before the videographers even get there. So let's say I've got an hour travel to where we met, Walsall. So I had to do the hour journey at 2 o'clock, meaning I had to wake up just after 1 to get myself ready, leave at 2 to get there for 3, get her ready for 6 so the photographers can do her videos. And then from 6 to that day got really delayed because I had to wait to pin the chunni on her head while the photographers took the pictures. So I had to wait around. So that obviously takes up a lot of time. Luckily, I had no bookings after her. But yeah, I went home, I had a nap, and I had to come back to get her ready again at Supreme. So that was a hard day.
Okay. Quite an education for me, at any rate. So just breaking in to bang the drum again, please share this podcast if you're listening and enjoying. Biggest help you can be to me is to share it, and let's get the word out there about all the fabulous people that do what we do for a living. That's all I've got to say. Please enjoy and share. Let's get back to Bavita.
This is a kind of an oddball question, but some people are natural beauties, so some people are naturally handsome, a lot of us aren't. How do you deal with different face types? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you've got, how do I put this nicely? If you've got somebody who's not blessed, let's say, in the looks department, how do you make the best of them?
I do the same thing on all my brides. My makeup technique and everything is exactly the same, but I will always help my brides with skincare prior to the wedding. So they just need to feel their best. It's not about what I think looks great on them. As long as they feel like themselves and they feel like they're looking their best, that's all that matters, because that's what's going to make them happy for their special day at the end of the day.
When you said you helped them with skincare prior to the wedding, how far before the event?
As soon as they book me, I'll send out a list of things that they can do to help their skin improve, up to their wedding day. So if they book me 2 months, 6 months, a year in advance, I'll make sure they've got everything they need to help maintain their skincare routine up to the wedding day.
That's astonishing.
Yeah, I do a lot.
And how many people stick to that?
A lot of them do. Yeah, they all tell me how much their skin has improved. I use a lot of natural products for my own myself. I don't wear makeup every day. So whatever I've been doing, whatever works for me, I recommend on other people. If they have more, I'd say harsher skin conditions, acne or anything that they're still struggling with, obviously, then I would recommend them to visit a dermatologist or incorporate a little bit of mine and a little bit of theirs and see what works for them. But yeah, I also send out a little bridal bag to all my brides, or a package if I see them beforehand. So if they're local to Leicester, I'll drop it off to them. But in the bag, I provide a little bit of skincare, face masks, eye masks.
You're very caring. Very caring.
Yeah, and I wish I had this for my wedding day, but I did all this for myself for the wedding day. So I thought, if it's helping me, I can't even imagine how much it helps my brides. And I actually get a lot of feedback on how much the brides appreciate the little things that they didn't think about on the wedding day.
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, give them those little bags, and they've got a little emergency kit as well.
You see, this is a whole education for me, because I've got absolutely no idea. Talking about video, that's fine. Photo, yeah, okay. But makeup and hair, not a clue.
Yeah.
Right, so... So at a at an event then, will you do both? Will you do hair and makeup, or do some brides just want makeup and just want hair, or how does that go?
Very rarely I get booked for one or the other, but I do get the odd bookings here and there. It's actually become quite popular. A lot of people are separating it. They're having a separate makeup artist and a separate hairstylist. Because I've done both for such a long time, obviously I've got the experience doing both. Some people would find it more convenient and sometimes cheaper to just have one person and not faff about with different people coming in and out. So yeah, I can do separately. But yeah, I 80%, I'd say 90%, I get hair and makeup bookings rather than just one or the other.
Okay. And you were sort of talking about social media earlier on. You came off completely. Doubtless, I guess... Do you look at other makeup artists and hair stylists and see what they're doing and gain any inspiration, or how does that go?
It can be both. I think in the world that we live in now, where mental health and everything has become such a big factor of our daily lives, it depends how someone looks at other hair and makeup artists. Some people will look at other people and think, I can't be like that and I'm not doing good enough, and give up. Which is exactly what I did in lockdown, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I was watching all these other hair and makeup artists having all the time in their hands to do tutorials and videos and doing these transformations on themselves and teaching other people how to do stuff. I worked through the whole of lockdown in the garden center. I was down to, I think, from 12 staff down to 4 or 5 staff. It was so overwhelming. And coming home every day, I was exhausted. And I actually tried to do the videos. I think I did 3 and thought, I just don't have time for this, because editing them takes just as much time as doing the videos themselves. But I spent so much time watching other people, and I think it put me down so much that I thought, if I don't come off social media and stop looking at all of this, I don't know where I'm going to end up with my hair and makeup. I was very close to giving it up. So yeah, I just came off, concentrated on the shop. And as soon as COVID opened up and things started lifting again, there were local girls in Leicester who were already getting wedding bookings. So yeah, they were all contacting me saying, you know, are you free on this date to help me on a job? And I obviously had to come back on Instagram. I thought, wow, right, I got to get myself back out there. But I did really struggle when I did come back on, because I'd missed out on so much.
And do you look around now at other suppliers and see what they're up to, or do you...
I do. But now I think the mind frame is a little bit different. It inspires me more, and I always think, how can I be better? I train wherever I can train. So I'll buy courses online and learn wherever I can. I recently learned a whole new technique off a lady in Australia, and it's worked for me so well. So I've still incorporated a lot of my own things, but her skincare and the way she applies foundation and things like that has just changed my whole makeup game right now.
So
that's
astonishing, because you've got so many years experience behind you, and yet you found something new and innovative.
I suppose it's the same with photo and videography. We just have to keep up with the times. Things keep changing and we have to do whatever social media is doing. So it's been the same for me with makeup,
So let's see, career milestones then in the hair and makeup. Let's forget about Santander. Career milestones, I suppose, coming back out of COVID and that booking in London would be one. Anything else notable along the way?
Yes. So most recently I had, I think it was February, I had a bride in South Africa.
Okay.
So
this is where we come back to the holiday, isn't it?
I do always try and make a holiday out of it. Sometimes we get flown out just for the few days. So a few years ago, I had a bride in Cyprus, just got flown out for the 3-4 days that they needed me. I ended up extending that and they paid for that as well for me. So I'm grateful. Yeah, I ended up staying a whole week and just had an amazing time. So South Africa. So we got booked for the wedding, and my parents are actually born and raised in Africa.
Okay.
And they came here when they were, my mum came when she was 3 or 4 years old, sponsored by her brother who was already here. It was a British colony then, so my mum and dad both already had British passports. So they came, and a lot of their friends and family moved to America rather than coming to the UK. So we thought, well, it's not so much me. My husband's family is from India. He's never been Africa.
Okay.
So I was like, right, I have to show him real Africa. I have to show him what it's all about and what he's been missing out on, because India is completely different to Africa.
And Africa is
incredible. Yeah, you could send me there every year. I'll be happy.
Absolutely.
But I managed to fit in a couple of days for a safari in Kruger Park in South Africa. So I took him there first. Then we flew to Cape Town, spent a few days there. And the wedding was in Stellenbosch, where all the wine fields, and it was incredible. From there, we traveled to Zambia, which is where my dad's from. We did the whole Victoria Falls tour and then went to see the family for a few days. Then we flew out to India. So I was actually gone for the whole of February just from one booking.
But that's nice though, isn't it?
It is. I think when you're so busy, you don't actually make time to make holidays for yourself.
Well, that downtime as well, because you can actually just, like you say, spend time with your husband, spend time with your family, just chill out, relax and enjoy the...
And it was the whole family that was there. So it was incredible. We loved it so much that we've decided to make it a yearly thing. We're just going to get the whole big family together once a year and have just one family trip. Everyone's busy. It's just the life that we live now. I don't know where time goes. Or maybe we're getting older and we've got so much more responsibilities that we feel like time is a thing now. When you're younger, we didn't think about time.
No,
so now
don't.
We feel like time's going fast, when essentially it's not. We've just got more responsibilities.
Well, I mean, for me, I'm 63 now, and it's just like time seems to contract, and you just sort of look back at something that happened 4 or 5 years ago, and you think, but that was only last week.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what?
What has happened in that time?
Oh, my word.
I know. But I've got another bride end of this year in Mauritius.
Nice.
Of course, I'm making a holiday out of that as well.
Of course, and why not?
So, I'm looking forward to that. And it's our 1-year wedding anniversary, so kill 2 birds with 1 stone.
There you go. Don't tell him, mate.
I know, I know. He loves it.
So, just mop it up.
He just works his normal. He works for Leicester City Council, so he works his 9-to-5. Then he gets spoiled on these amazing holidays.
And free haircuts.
Yes,
as well.
Exactly. Win-win.
He doesn't need to go down to Turkish barbers. Or Kurdish barbers, yeah.
No.
So is this a career for you, or is it a stepping stone into something else, or are you going to crank it all in when... the garden centre become... I don't know. What's your sort of plan for the future?
It's very much taken every day as it comes. I feel like I've always got makeup as a backup. So if the garden centre doesn't work, I've got makeup. If the makeup doesn't work, I've always got the garden centre. But I just don't see the makeup business side of it ever going down. I think it's just getting busier and busier and increasing more and more every year.
Hmm.
I suppose that's just how it works. The more, like I said earlier, the more you get your name out there... the more you get recognized for your work. So I feel like I'm on that path now, and I am getting there slowly.
So the "is your job fun" question is kind of, it is, isn't it?
Yes, I love it. When I wake up at 2 o'clock, I hate it and I don't want to go. I just do not want to wake up, and I do not want to get ready, and I do not want to get in my car and travel as far as I need to travel.
Hmm.
But the moment I get there, I'm just a bubbly, get on with everyone kind of person anyway. So the minute I meet the person that I'm going to get ready, I just wake up, and it's just exciting and fun from there. When I'm driving home, that's it. What I'm thinking about is my bed, and I just want to go sleep.
I've had this conversation, I think, with Mandy Dillon, and it's just like, or I can't remember who I had the conversation with, but I think it's out here on the pod where doing maybe a Hindu wedding, you've got the big break in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And you're sort of, so tired. And then when it comes time for things to crank up again,
you just wake up. It's insane. Your energy, yeah, it's crazy how your body just works like that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's even worse when you got back to back, though, because you can't actually stop in between.
No.
That's very hard.
So what's your approach to social media now then? You stepped away from it completely.
I did.
What's your approach now?
So I think social media is now the backbone to any business at the moment. I don't do it with the garden center. I don't feel like I need to. We just advertise locally there anyway. But with makeup, I think social media has been the biggest challenge for me, because I already did hair and makeup. I already run my business. I didn't know that I'd have to edit my videos and learn how to make video tutorials and reels and everything else that came along with it. But I've done it. I've done it. I've got the hang of it. So I feel like I am very much on top of my social media now. But again, it is another full-time job. So when people ask me, I say I have 3 jobs, because social media is another full-time job. That's where all my spare time goes.
Yeah.
Editing reels, making videos, getting them ready in my drafts, getting the text ready. People don't realize like how much time that actually takes to do things like that.
Longer than the actual makeup. Sometimes.
Oh, God, yeah. It depends how long the videos are. It's insane.
Yeah. So the race, as such, is are you racing other makeup artists or just racing yourself?
I'm just racing myself. I'm very content with my life and the way the makeup is going. I'm a firm believer in the law of attraction, and I'm very, very, very grateful for all the jobs that I get. Even if it's something small, I'll take it because I'm grateful, like, it came my way. Every job's a learning opportunity. You can learn something new on every single job, whether it's skincare or doing, I don't know, eyeshadow in a different way or playing with colours. Every job's different, so that's nice. It's never the same thing.
What do you think is the biggest lesson that you've learnt through doing what you do?
God, I still think I'm learning. I think it's my time management and the time pulls into health management and just balancing my life in general. It's hard.
It's not something
yeah,
you do all
I know.
That,
it's
is
so.
It?
I just don't feel. I don't think it's something anyone in this industry can have a steady flow of. It's just too different, and there's just so much going on the weekends.
Do you think that brides, because grooms don't, but do you ever do grooms?
Very rarely.
Okay.
You get the odd few that will have a spot and will need a concealer touch up, or someone with dark under eyes who will just want a concealer touch up there.
Yeah.
Guys with naturally oily skin.
Yeah.
So they would like some powdering or a little bit of extra hairspray.
Yeah.
Just little things, but nothing major.
Okay. So do you think then that the brides book you because of what you've posted on social media? So they see another bride looking in sort of X style or Y style. And do you think they book you for that? Or do they come to you and say, look, my skin is particularly weird because of X, Y, Z. And can you do something? Yeah.
We get both. I would say I get more of the booking just because they get what they see on social media. I'm a firm believer of not editing my videos, and that's why I do a lot of reels, so people can actually see the true form on video. I think there's just so much of editing on photos and filtering on photos that you can't actually see what they probably really look like. They've got no pores on their skin, no wrinkles, no lines. Like, those are all natural things that every single human has.
And do you think those sort of battle scars of life, how do you deal with those sympathetically?
I think I think nowadays you just have to be honest with people. We get a lot of people who be like, oh, I've got loads of wrinkles. Can you cover them up? Unfortunately, no. Like, they are a part of your skin. If you've seen someone's page, or you know someone who had their makeup done by someone, and what you've seen on their page, and she's got no wrinkles all of a sudden, that's a completely filtered photo. Well, that's not what you're going to get. That's not the reality of it.
No.
But again, if you have videos, if there's reels on the person's page, you can see what it's actually going to look like. You can't take out wrinkles in a video.
No.
If you're looking at a page that just has photos, it's most likely going to be a filtered photo because it's not the true likeness of the person.
I do remember years ago seeing a video of a bride that it was a sort of before and after, and she looked nothing like literally nothing like she did before the wedding. And that's a dangerous road to go down.
I get a lot of people who actually say that I just want to look like myself because my makeup is quite it's natural. I don't do heavy makeup.
Yeah.
So when I post my videos, I zoom in. I try to show as close video to the skin as possible so you can see the pores.
Hmm.
And then obviously, the further away you pull the camera, the less you can see things like that. So it's not always about being far away and looking so filtered or flawless. You can look like that from far. No one's going to come right up to your nose, the tip of your nose, and say, oh, you've got a blackhead. Like, and it gets covered.
And people's, because I've filmed female singers, for instance, who will say, oh, this is my best side, or don't film me from that side, don't film me from below, don't film me. So how do you deal with people's own inadequacies or their perceived inadequacies of their own skin?
If it is something like, can you do it from this side because this is the side that I like, I'll take the photos from there.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm not there to make them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I'm at the end of the day, if their photo is going on my Instagram, I'd rather them be happy with what they can see. But yeah, I always show them their photos and videos and share it with them so they can see that is actually what I'm putting up. I'm not putting up anything different to how she looked when I left.
You were saying earlier on that there was, you know, several girls in Leicester that were, you know, hiring you to do this,
know,
help out or whatever. So how do you distinguish yourself in, I'm assuming that hair and makeup is a crowded marketplace as much as video or any other businesses. So how do you distinguish yourself amongst that?
I think for any makeup artist, really, as they begin hair and makeup, they tend to begin with party hair and makeup, which is getting the guests ready for a wedding. When I first started, that's what I used to put up. And then you get the mums ready. So I used to put the mums up. Hmm. I don't do any of that anymore. I just concentrate on putting brides on my page because that's the audience that's the girls that I aim to work with.
Okay, so but you did use
it. I still do party hair and makeup, and all the girls reach out to me and I reach out to them whenever we've got big bookings. So
And what do you think your competitors think of you?
I hope they see me as the way I see myself. I just get on with everyone. I don't have drama with people. I don't like drama. And I don't like confrontation, so I avoid all of that. I just like to keep people around me who are on the same energy, stay humble, because I still remember how I started and where I came from. So if someone who's just starting out in the makeup industry needed help, I just help, because I'm not losing anything from it. I've had a few girls recently that I work with loads, just because I'm trying to help them get their name out there as well. And I've got nothing to lose from it. So
that's very generous.
Yeah, I don't mind. It makes me happy.
Any unfulfilled ambitions,
Pavita?
No. You've been there, you've done it all.
Been there, I've done that. I think I've experienced so much in my youth, whether it came to personal life and business. So I'm very, very grateful for where I am. I think I'm where I'm supposed to be right now. And I'll just keep working harder and hopefully be better next year.
That's fantastic. So my sort of final question for today is the same one that I ask everybody, which is this: if I could give you the tools and the skills and the wherewithal to do any other job within the wedding industry, what would you do?
Probably decor.
Okay.
That was the easy one.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Because I'm a creative person, so I think decor would be the next best thing for me. Being creative with decoration is just as exciting as doing hair and makeup on someone.
Do you like to come in and have a look around and see
what I love it. I just absolutely love it. So when I met you, I just thought, let me go in and have a look at the venue. And it's nice because it's good for other vendors to know that their work is appreciated as well. Mm. I think a lot of people, brides and grooms as well, sometimes they don't people don't always have time to give you feedback because they're so busy after the wedding as well.
Sure.
I'm one of those people. When I got married, I still haven't managed to write something for all my vendors, but they all know that I appreciate them. If you're listening to me, I appreciate you because I know how hard it is.
How long ago did you get married?
I got married in September last year.
Okay. Have you had your wedding video
thank you.
Yet?
Yeah, I did my Indian wedding in Leicester in August. Then we had our civil and reception in September. But we did it in a huge glass house in Liverpool.
Okay.
Yeah, so I wanted it like that because I'm in that industry.
Yeah.
I wanted natural, I wanted nature, but I just didn't want to be outside.
Okay, yeah, well, yeah, fair.
And yeah, it was stunning. The vendors, everyone that I've worked with, I don't think I've ever come across anyone that I don't get along with in this industry. Mm. Like, I genuinely appreciate everyone who I've worked with or anyone's work that I see. I'll still message makeup artists, new people that I've seen and say, oh my God, I absolutely love your page. Like, you're doing so well. And they come back to me, obviously say, your page is amazing. That's not what I'm doing it for. Like, I just love what they're doing. And I think sometimes you need that encouragement. I didn't have that. Had I had that from the beginning... my dad was so against hair and makeup. He just didn't want me to do it. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that's why I just like went salons because he thought, oh, she's in a business. So that's good.
Okay.
But doing hair and makeup, had I started when I was 19, I don't know where I'd be right now.
And how does your dad feel about hair and makeup now?
Oh, he's proud of me now.
Yeah. Now but you're jetting off
I know,
to Mauritius.
But only because I did an Asian wedding show in March in Leicester at the Marriott Hotel. And because it was Leicester, they came to visit me. And I was so busy that I think it's for the first time, imagine after all these years, for the first time this year, I think my dad actually appreciated how hard I work in these little things.
Mm.
So now when I tell him I've got a job... He believes me. I used to say I've got a job and take a day off work.
and doubtless hugely proud of where you're at.
I hope so, yeah. I hope so. But he does, I know he tells people that, oh, she's very busy with her work. And that, it's just old school Indian dad mentality.
Yeah.
That alone is just a praise that she's doing well.
Yeah. No, that's brilliant. Well, listen, we've done very well, and I thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Andy.
Spending the time, well, finding this, because we literally, 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 1 o'clock. No, I'll be there at
this
5 past 1.
That day.
Yeah, okay. So I truly appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I appreciate you telling my story to everyone.
Good luck for the future.
Thank you, Andrew.
And to all the listeners, keep listening, keep subscribing. Thank you very much. Love you. Bye.
Well, there we go. That was Bavita, and real education for me, like I say. Somebody who knows nothing about makeup and hair. That was really interesting, I thought. Hey, please just keep listening, keep enjoying, keep supporting, share the podcast. It's available on virtually every podcast host you can think of. Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts. It's out there. So, you know, share it, please. Okay, thanks very much. Episode 11 will be with Jeff Harris, Toastmaster extraordinaire. And his background, wow, there's an interesting story. I'll see you on the next one. Bye.